Can we turn together, please, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Leviticus, chapter 23, and we will commence to read at verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. The 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your soul. In the 9th day of the month, at even, from even unto even, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Now we trust the Lord to bless this reading from his word. It's rather lengthy reading. We could have read more, but we will be referring to various verses as we go along. We are living in momentous days. It doesn't take us to give very much thought to what is going on around us to realize that there are incredible changes. Changes in every sphere of life. there are changes in governments all over the world. There are changes in law. Many of these changes, we cannot help but shudder when we hear them and see them being brought into effect. There are changes in educational policies. There are changes in medical facilities. Some of the changes are good. Many of the changes are bad. We are living in incredible days. We need to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. As we consider the topic that we have before us this morning, I want us to consider that topic under the words of the Lord Jesus, I will build my church. Now I know, as you know, that we do not find the church in the Old Testament, not as we have it in the New Testament. But I trust that we will illustrate much of church truth as we look at these feasts of Jehovah, as we look at the plan of God arranged. God is not merely a bigger version of ourselves. Sometimes we are tempted to think in that sort of way. God is never taken by surprise. God never needs to fall back on plan B. He never needs to improvise. He never needs to have any contingency plans in case things should go wrong. Let us remember that the cross was not an accident. The cross was not necessitated by the arising of unforeseen circumstances. Not by a million miles. The church was not brought into being because Israel failed. No. Let us understand that everything that takes place because God is sovereign. God has plans, God has purposes, and nothing in the universe can thwart the purposes and plans of God. And this morning, at the beginning of our conference, I want to try, and I trust we will have the help of the Spirit of God in doing it, to get an overview of the plans and purposes of God. Now you will understand that in 45 or 50 minutes, we are going to have to move quickly. If we are to look at the purposes of God over the millennia, the thousands of years that have passed and that some may still be to come. So we will move rapidly, and I trust that with the help of some diagrams on the overhead projector, what we have to say will be easy to understand and follow. Let us then remember that God's purposes, God's plans, are unchanging and unchangeable. There is no way that they can be modified. There is no way that they need to be modified. Let us also remember, as we move through this plan of the ages, that we have two doctrines that balance out perfectly.
You will find as you go through the scriptures that doctrines often appear in pairs and not singly. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ is truly God, but he is truly man at the same time. We may not divorce those doctrines, but we may not be able in our feeble minds to bring them together either. And so in the scriptures, we have presented to us the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. It is plainly stated. And in parallel with that, we have the doctrine of man's free will. It is clearly illustrated and indeed stated in the Word of God. We will principally be looking at the idea of God's sovereignty, overruling everything, because nothing ever gets out of his control, however much it may seem to be the case as we look around. Not for one moment do things escape the control of God. And yet, in some mysterious way, man has a perfect free will. He is at perfect liberty to do what he wishes. But behind the scenes, God is controlling everything. Don't ask me to put it together. I present the facts merely as they are in the scripture. We have then the feasts of Jehovah. I hope that that is visible. I'll move it along as we go through the different feasts. You will see the different colors on the overhead projector, which may help us to identify one or two items that we need to think of. First of all, the seven feasts of Jehovah, as we have read of them here in Leviticus chapter 23, are divided into three groups. The three groups we have illustrated according to the colors. We start with the green color, representing the first month of the Jewish year. Then we have the pink color, representing the third month, and the blue color representing the seventh month. These feasts were what we may call in our modern age public holidays. Every single year in the Jewish calendar, they kept these various festivals. They weren't all feasts, but we normally refer to them as feasts, I suppose, for convenience. Perhaps festivals would be a better word. The first three took place in the first month of the year. The fourth one took place on the third month of the year. And the last three took place in the seventh month of the year. So you will see that they are spread out. You will notice, please, the space, the fourth, fifth, and sixth month, with nothing. Of course, there was a space after the seventh month. From the eighth month through to the end of the year, there was not one feast. Now, of course, in modern Jewish setting, things have changed somewhat. We are not concerned with those changes. We are not concerned with such feasts as the Feast of Purim and so on. They were not given by the Lord. These are the feasts which God has given. And one of the reasons is because these feasts demonstrate God's plan and purpose for all the ages. we will see how beautifully these feasts actually do that. Now you might say, why should we study these feasts? After all, it was given to Israel. It's got nothing to do with us. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 tells us this. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So we can learn from these things. As I looked at that verse, I noted that in fact it doesn't stop there. The end of the verse says that we might have hope. Therefore, those things that were written aforetime for our learning give us hope, and hope is always, always looking to the future. And therefore, I believe, by the word of God, we can see that it is not wrong to take those things from the Old Testament which reflect the purposes of God in the future, and to meditate upon them and seek to come to some understanding of them. You will see that the first three feasts, in fact, they come together in a very simple way. The Passover feast, a feast lasting one day. That was on the 14th day of the first month. Unleavened bread lasting 1 week, from the 15th day to the 21st day. Now you will understand that during that 1 week, there will always be a Saturday, what we call a Saturday. Of course, the Jews don't call it Saturday, they call it the Sabbath. And during that week, there will be one day, which will be the day following the Sabbath. And indeed, that was the day on which the Feast of First Fruits was held. Therefore, every year, it was a different date. It was always held on the day following the Sabbath, the day that we call the first day of the week. Then we find, according to Leviticus chapter 23, and we read the verse verse 16, that they had to do some counting. From that day following the Sabbath, the day of first fruits, they counted 7 Sabbaths. That is, 7 sevens are 49, 49 days. And the following day, being the 50th day, was what the Jewish people called the Feast of Weeks. We call it the Feast of Pentecost, because Pente, being associated with 5, 5 tens are 50, 50 days, and that's just what Pentecost is. Then we have the gap, the space, 4th, 5th, 6 months, nothing. And suddenly, in the 7th month, we have a 1 day feast on the first day of the month, the Feast of Trumpets. That is followed by a 1 day fast on the 10th day of the month, the Fast of Atonement. The Jews still keep many of these, of course. This is Yom Kippur. And then, a 1 week festival from the 15th day to the 21st day of the month, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now that's just a brief overview of what we have got there. Now we want to look at some of these things more carefully. I'd like us to see I'd like us to see how these worked out for the Jewish people in the Old Testament. It's all very well to have the diary in our minds, but actually it wasn't dates to them. It was events. It was happenings. It was important things that they had to do or remember or both. First of all, the Feast of Passover. I think we're all very familiar with it, Exodus chapter 12. I think we know that they slew a lamb. They put the blood on the doorposts. It was a question of redemption. They were in Egypt. They were slaves. They had to be redeemed. And they were redeemed by the blood of the lamb. That's very simple, and most of what I'm going to say is very, very simple. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Then, they had to eat the Passover. Here we have them grouped around the table, eating the Passover. Now that was one feast. And yet it was the beginning of one week when they had to be very, very careful with their diet. Of course, they were always careful with their diet. But for that week, they were not permitted to eat anything containing leaven. And we'll come to the importance of that shortly. I want us to understand that this question of Passover, when we come to New Testament, is so thoroughly integrated with unleavened bread that the Jews use the terms interchangeably. In fact, in the book of Luke, I think it is, he records, then came the feast of the unleavened bread, which is Passover. And the two words are used interchangeably, and the Jew does not distinguish particularly between the actual Passover and the unleavened bread week. It's all one unit, and that is important. Then we have the sheaf of first fruits. Remember, during that week, there was one day that was the first day of the week. And that was the day they waved the sheaf of first fruits. You see, the harvest was just beginning. Please note that. The harvest was just beginning. And they presented the first fruits to God. Pentecost. 50 days later. It's not a sheaf of grain, but two loaves of bread that are presented. And please note in passing that those loaves of bread were baked using leaven, yeast. Now that's important. I hope we realize that every detail in our Bibles is absolutely important. There is nothing put in to fill up space. And so, there are two loaves baked with leaven. Then we have the gap. Fourth, fifth, and sixth months with nothing. Feast of Trumpets. Two silver trumpets were given to the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Everything's thrown away. Two trumpets given. Those trumpets were to be sounded at the beginning of every month. But that wasn't the only time they were sounded. If you read carefully in the book of Numbers, you will find that they organized the whole camp of Israel in the desert according to the trumpets. If they wanted everybody to come together, they blew the trumpets a certain way. If they wanted everybody to pack up their tents and move off, they blew the trumpets a certain way. In fact, the whole modern idea of trumpets sounding the indications of what an army should do comes from the book of Numbers. It was God's idea. It was God's provision. The Day of Atonement. A fast. Did you notice as we were reading in Leviticus chapter 23 that on three occasions it said that the people had to afflict their soul? I hope you noticed that. Because that gives the tone for this whole Day of Atonement, if you will excuse the pun. It really was a very, very, very solemn, solemn day. It still is. In those days, it was the day on which the high priest went into the most holy place, where he sprinkled the blood on top of the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. A very vital part of the proceedings, if the people are to have their sins dealt with before a holy God. Finally, the Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days when they lived in booths. 7 days when they remembered that for 40 years they wandered through the desert. 7 days when they looked forward to the time when they would be settled forever in the land. It hasn't happened yet, has it? You see, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might have hope. And you know, the Jew still has hope. He still has hope. He's still looking for his Messiah. He's still looking for a permanent home. All right. Israel is there, but they got their problems. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to live in that country? With all that's going on around them? Millions and millions of Arabs, north, south, east, and west, just longing for the obliteration of that tiny little country. Did you know that Israel has the 5th strongest army in the world? And for such a tiny group of people, that is remarkable. Did you know that God has a purpose for his people? And no power on earth can change God's purpose. Let's look at these things then with regard to us. This is all Israel, of course. And we are the church. You will understand from the New Testament that in Christ there is not Jew and Gentile. We are one in Christ. Now maybe we don't see too many of God's ancient people coming to know the Savior, but there are plenty of them here and there throughout the world. In South Africa, in the little assembly where we fellowship, we have a young man who used to be going very regularly to the synagogue. He's a Jew. And he's trusted the Lord. And I suppose he's one of the most enthusiastic members of our assembly. I tell you. He opens the Bible and he reads it. He reads his Old Testament in Hebrew, actually. And the things he comes off with are quite remarkable. And he wonders and wonders and wonders for all the years how he didn't see these things in the Old Testament. You know, it's so much alive to him. I want us now just to relate all that we have done so far in the last 15 minutes or so of our time together this morning to the New Testament. What we have done is all Old Testament, and what we are going to do is, of course, New Testament. You'll know it all. There's nothing new, but I hope as we bring it all together, it will help to tie up the two parts of our Bible that seem so often to be estranged one from the other. Passover. As the Jew looked back to that day in Egypt, when God brought them out by the blood of the Lamb, so we look back. We look back to a far greater sacrifice. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. It's not just the Jews who have a Passover. We have a Passover. Christ is our Passover. It's remarkable. It's wonderful. Have you noticed? I'm sure you have. In Exodus chapter 12, all the people had to bring a lamb for a house. That's what it says. Now, sometimes there would be two houses clubbed together and get a lamb. But there must have been thousands of lambs slain on that first 14th of the month. Thousands of them. But did you ever notice that it says that they will kill the lamb? Only one. God saw it as one sacrifice. God saw it as being typical of the death of the Lord Jesus, and he only died once. My brethren and sisters, let's grasp it. He is alive, and he will never, never, never die again. It is not necessary. He has dealt completely, utterly, finally, eternally with the whole question of sin. It's a glorious, glorious truth. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The Jewish people kept the feast of unleavened bread. For 1 week, they were very careful what they ate. They were very particular with regard to this question of leaven. On the 14th day, the man of the house will still, in an Orthodox Jewish home, go around the house and brush up all the crumbs of leaven or bread with leaven. In fact, I understand that what they do is they will, prior to that, go around and deliberately put little crumbs here and there, crumbs of leavened bread, and then they will tour the house and ceremonially bring it all together, sweep it all up, and throw it all out. And so we too, we keep the Lord's Supper. It's something we constantly do. The first day of every week. I hope we do it. I hope that we are no less careless than the Jew was with regard to how we do it. Let a man examine himself, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So it's not just the doing of it that is important, but how we do it is equally important. It can become so much a ritual that we take it for granted. It can become something that just happens so regularly every Lord's Day that we just go and do it and don't stop and think and remember that the Word says we must examine ourselves in the presence of God. And let us not think in these terms. Because we do it so often, it is becoming familiar. It has lost its significance. Let's do it less often and then it will be more significant. Would that be honoring the Lord? when he said, as often as you do it. And we change it to as seldom as we do it. No, no. The apostles did it on the first day of the week. Let us do the same. Why should we change it? Just because some people are careless does not mean that we should depart from the pattern that is laid down for us. Oh, but there's something else. Let's just turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I do believe we should read this rather than just referring to it. First Corinthians 5, verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If we are to restrict the meaning of this feast of unleavened bread to the Lord's Supper, we are going to miss the point entirely. You see, that feast was to be kept for 7 days, a complete number that would represent our complete life from the time we trust Christ until the time we're taken home to glory. And we are keeping a feast every day. In what sense? In the sense that we are being separated from everything that is sinful. Please remember that every single time we read of leaven in the Bible, it represents sinful influence. Every time. Now please don't get mistaken about that. Every time. And tomorrow morning, God willing, we're going to be looking at one of those problem texts. And as the Jew for that week had to separate himself from everything that had leaven, so we, for our complete lives from we're saved till the day we get home to heaven, we should be separated from everything that has a corrupting influence in our lives. Now the doctrine of separation is not a very popular one these days, but it is the Word of God. And in our chapter, 1 Corinthians 5, we find that in fact it is a question of how I live. He's dealing with fornication. He's dealing with immorality. He's dealing with sinful influence on our lives. He's not dealing with the Lord's Supper. So let's just keep that in mind. So we have salvation, the cross of Christ. We have a holy life, that is the feast of unleavened bread. First fruits is resurrection. It was the beginning of harvest. Seed had been planted, and according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that is a picture of how God is going to operate. The seed must be planted, it must die, then it will bring forth fruit. And so we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 23, that Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. First fruits indicates resurrection. Do you remember what day this took place on? Yes, the day following the Sabbath. Always a Sunday. Why? Because Christ was going to rise on the first day of the week. That's why. You see, God had it planned right from the beginning. The whole thing is in the plan and purpose of God. There was nothing accidental about the cross. There was nothing accidental about the resurrection of Christ, as if God was correcting a mistake. No. In fact, it was planned in the purposes of God before the world was ever created. And it was recorded for us in Leviticus chapter 23. Christ, the first fruits. First fruits also helps us to look forward, does it not? First fruits means there must be something coming afterwards, otherwise it wouldn't be called first. And he is the first fruits of them that sleep. And as sure as Christ rose from the dead on the third day, just so sure will every true believer in Christ arise on the resurrection morning. We'll hear more of that later on. Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. I was looking at that little word. Fully come. I looked it up in Greek. And I found that it is only used 3 times in our New Testament. And it is only used by Luke, the Gentile. Fully come. It's used in that passage in Luke where the disciples are on the sea and the storm is raging and the boat is filled with water. And that's the same word, fully come. Quite remarkable. It seems to indicate a completion. It seems to indicate the end of something. And I believe in Acts chapter 2, it indicates the completion of the purposes of God relative to this question of 50 days. And when the 50 days had come, then the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came. We find that in Acts chapter 2, the church begins. The word church is not used. But very shortly afterwards, all those who were united as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, they became known as the church of God. This was the day when the high priest presented 2 loaves made with leaven. Please note it. Why was there leaven in the loaves? Because we are still on earth. And however much we may try to separate ourselves from the sinful influences of all that is around, there will inevitably be the corruption within the church. More of that tomorrow morning.